Taliban leaders in Afghanistan issued a decree on women's rights this month. The document outlaws child marriage and gives some property rights to widows, but it is silent on women's education and work. In fact, most Afghan women have lost their jobs since the Taliban retook power in August. Our next guest recently wrote an opinion piece. It's called "Afghan Women Deserve a Seat at the Table." Wajma Froga is co-founder of the Women in Peace Studies organization in Afghanistan, and she's a member of the Afghan Women's Network. Wajma, very good to have you.
Thank you so much.
So can I ask you first about life for Afghan women right now under the Taliban? I understand many women are no longer working and many girls are no longer in school. So what options exist right now?
So I work with a group of almost 100 women from all 34 provinces. And after August 15, we started a communication group where we check on everybody on a daily basis, and they are in different parts of the country. So the stories are, of course, heartbreaking. What you hear in the media, that girls are not able to go to school, women are not able to go to work. So all that, you know, public life opportunities have been literally taken away overnight. These women, they were, you know, working in different departments of the government. They were working, you know, in the NGOs, teachers or doctors. So all of them lost their jobs. But more than that, this whole fear, the threats that, you know, these women are facing on a daily basis. For example, this early morning, I got the picture of one of the members who showed a Taliban pickup full of armed men outside her door, and she just took it from her balcony and said, "If you don't hear from me again, goodbye." You know, that is the level of fear that the women and men in the communities are going through, because the Taliban are treating, like in the words of some of these women, is that they are treating us like criminals because they think that we are co-conspirators of the former government. You know, we are the U.S. puppets. And that's why the, you know, violence, being beaten on daily basis if you go out, living there on daily basis with this fear has really taken a huge toll on everybody, and especially women and children.
Now, you are describing the Taliban appearing to take vengeance on, you know, people they assume are allies of the previous government. Is there a sense that the Taliban are particularly targeting women in these cases?
Yesterday, one of these women were telling us that Taliban commanders go around different homes or the community, or sometimes they come in the mosque. So they tell the mullah in the mosque that you have to make sure that all the men in the community learn how to control the women here, because these are the women who are creating troubles for, you know, the Taliban. They are the ones who are protesting on the streets. Even girls who have been stopped from going to school, they started reading circles, like amazing ways of the way they are kind of coping with the situation. And that's what, you know, the Taliban are afraid of.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you say that, I'm thinking about a line in your opinion piece where you say the Taliban must confront the fact that millions of schoolgirls cannot unlearn how to read.
That's so true. You know, what I say, that it's not the communities that need to get used to the Taliban. It's actually the Taliban that need to get used to the communities. For 20 years, you know, we dined in the cafes, you know, we had our gyms, you know, we became ministers, we became ambassadors, we ran governments, we ran organizations for 20 years. So imagine a girl who was 5 years of age in 2001, and now she's 25, right? So that girl has gone to school. That girl has gone to university. She has, you know, a Facebook page, a Twitter page. She has connected through Instagram. So all of what that globalized experience that the millions of young generations have gone through, you know, you cannot take them away. I don't know why the Taliban are not acting smart. I don't know.
Well, speaking of the Taliban, I want to ask about your thoughts on this special decree. It is silent on education and employment for women. But I imagine some would argue, listen, this is the start in a positive direction. Your thoughts?
I laughed at it when I saw it, because I'm somebody who spent my life working on the laws that protected women in the first place, right? We got the first Elimination of Violence Against Women law, the EVAW law in Afghanistan in 2009. I worked on it along with other women from 2004 until 2009. We have female prosecutors for violence against women. We had, you know, a whole structure that they turned a blind eye to and suddenly started that old school kind of decree. And the Taliban leadership has no connection in terms of enforcement. Yes, it might make the international community, the Americans, happy that, yes, the Taliban are very much pro-women. But, you know, for us as Afghans who live under this situation, we literally laugh at it.
Mm. As I hear you say this, it makes me wonder if this is going to bring more clashes. I mean, as you described, this whole there's a whole generation of women who are changed, who are emboldened. At the same time, you have members of the Taliban who may want to go back to 1996.
You know, my question, from the Taliban have been that how many you can kill, how many you can suppress, right? 40 million people live in Afghanistan. How many of them you can continue killing? I see it more than clashes. I see it as a war in the making because the country is a combination of so many different ethnic groups that do not see themselves in the Taliban emirate, like the Shias, Hazaras, the Tajiks, for example. They are not the people that you can continue suppressing somewhere. So, you know, and then the prospect of, you know, foreign fighters. So remember, Afghanistan has been having these huge number of foreign fighters. We have Chinese Uyghurs who are fighting there, you know, in Badakhshan province where we are bordering with China, some 1,000 East Turkestan Islamic movement is present, to French Algerians who have been, you know, fighting in Faria. And we also remember, we have these 300 armed forces from the former government, who are not all of them have left the country. They are hiding in the country. They have somehow access to those ammunitions. So for their own protection, and because the Taliban continue to do revenge killing, so they have to protect themselves. How do you protect yourself? You know, through arming and or, you know, joining an armed group. So the Taliban need to act smartly. We don't want another war on terror. We don't want another 9/11. We don't want, you know, another 20 years of forever war. We want, you know, the Taliban to actually embrace Afghanistan and work towards a better society, because we are not starting from zero. We have built institution for 20 years.
Let me turn and ask you about everyday life now in Afghanistan. The economy, I read, is in shambles. I mean, daily life is so challenging. And you write that women have to play a central role, and one area is delivering aid across the country. Aid. Can you explain that?
So we have, you know, so many communities that, one, of course, we have these huge number of war widows, that male aid workers cannot reach them if they do not have female aid workers. Also that for women and children, access to aid becomes very hard. I have reports where aid packages have been sold out. They give it to the man and the family. This man, for example, wants, you know, cash. So what he does is that he doesn't take the food to his wife and seven children. He actually, you know, sells it in the market and uses the cash for his own expenses. And this is something that we are looking in so many communities. That's why we really need, you know, female aid workers to go inside the home, because homes would not open their doors to, just the way we need female vaccinators to do the vaccination, because families would not allow a male vaccinator inside their home. Otherwise, you know, the women and children are the ones who are suffering. And you know what? The worst part that continuously happens is the selling of these children. Like my colleagues were telling me that this week in the market, a father brought two of his girls, 5 and 7 years old, and he said, I'm selling these if anybody wants to buy them. So that is the level of, you know, disparity among, and who is suffering? It's the women and children.
And on this topic of foreign aid, of course, a lot of it is being withheld right now from governments, including the U.S. government, that are imposing financial sanctions on the Taliban. And this must be felt on the inside by the people who are struggling. You criticize the international community also for sending all male delegations to sit across from Taliban leaders to talk about these things. What should the outside world do?
Today's situation is a direct consequence of the U.S. Doha deal and that hasty withdrawal that U.S. did. U.S. left Afghanistan in the middle of the night, you know, the Bagram Air Base, which was the symbol of this 20 years of U.S. presence. But anyways, today, what we want from the international community, particularly the U.S. U.S. government, open your embassy in Kabul. You signed a deal with the Taliban. Now come and manage them. If those sanctions, you know, were of worry to you, you wouldn't have signed a deal with them, and your foreign secretary was shaking hands with the Taliban leader in Doha. So you can sign a deal with them, but cannot send food so that women and children don't die. This is hypocrisy. So we very much, you know, want the U.S. government to engage with the Taliban. There is a responsibility that the U.S. has, because what I'm also afraid is that we don't want, after 20 years, then another U.S. war in Afghanistan, right? Remember, the Taliban as a jihadi, as an Islamist group, they have their roots, they have their support from Al-Qaeda, they have support from Hezbollah to Boko Haram to Al-Shabaab in Somalia. So they have their international solidarity. And if this group does not see that they are collapsing, because they cannot even feed their soldiers, they would go to their own jihadi groups. And then, you know, you have Afghanistan as another heaven for terrorism, and then something again happens, and then the U.S. plans to come back. That's restarting the whole thing, and how many lives are being lost.
Wajma Farooq is an activist and co-founder of the Women in Peace Studies organization in Afghanistan, and she's a member of the Afghan Women's Network. Wajma Farooq, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.